Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Today, we're reviewing the stupidest movie of 2023, Superman casting rumors, and finally, Tears of the Kingdom is out, and the Zelda producer wants a movie. But can it happen? All that and more today on Breaking Geek Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the premier flagship and international podcast of LRM Online and the Genreverse Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Jones, and with me, I've got three-quarter portions of the Loud Task. We're here to discuss
three quarter portions.
Listen, that is the only thing that I have taken out of that movie that's worth saying. Is that one? Is there,
the quarter?
Are there any other memes?
Is it because Jam is short? Is that why he's on your?
Do you not math? They don't do quarter portions in Britain or Dubai. That's not a. Okay, we're here to talk about a movie. I genuinely was thinking about that intro, trying to figure out, is it the dumbest movie? I'm gonna look. But we're gonna review this film. No, you think there's something worse?
Moonfall.
That was last year. That was last year.
It feels like yesterday. My heart still hurts.
In 10 years, he's like, no. The worst movie of the dumbest movie of 2033 is Moonfall.
It's just the worst movie ever in any year. It doesn't matter what comes out from now.
Doesn't matter.
What's the shittiest movie you've seen? Moonfall.
So let's get to it. Let's review Fast 10. This is the 10th film in the Fast and Furious saga films, but actually it is the 11th film in the Fast and Furious series. So the synopsis says that Fast X, you had to think about it? You were like, oh, what?
Well, because I forgot about Hobbs and Shaw.
That's right. It is forgettable. Fast 10, the 10th film in the Fast and Furious saga, launches the final chapters of one of cinema's most storied and popular global franchises. Now, in his third decade, Jesus Christ, and still going strong with the same core cast and characters as it began.
It's
with.
Still going.
It's still going.
And all that. Let's get into it. Right now, this film, as of this podcast, has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 55% from the critics. Does anybody want to guess the audience score?
48.
84.
Did you guess that, really?
Who?
You, on the button. 84. Holy shit.
Yes. No, I didn't. Yes. I did guess it, yeah.
Well, I hate great. People.
So, as we generally do, we're going to start with our non-spoiler Twitter style impressions of this film. Let's start with Danny.
Mm-hmm. Non-Twitter spoiler. Well, it's better than Moonfall.
No. It's your Twitter non-spoiler, not non-Twitter spoiler.
Yeah, I said non-spoiler Twitter impression.
No. He said Danny tweets. Said non-Twitter spoiler. You said non-Twitter.
Is that
spoiler.
What I said? No. Well, because we're not on Twitter.
Yeah, true. But it's like okay, the Lilo Dallas, you know, not that one, that one.
Jamal, I don't do words proper like what you do. This is why you are the writer. Anyway, I stand by my non-Twitter
comment. You have to say with a proper
Twitter
comment. Cockney accent, if you're going to say
better
that.
Than Moonfall. Yeah, it's better than Moonfall, mate, isn't it?
No, about you not wording good.
Not doing words good. Yeah, I got not much to say about what this movie is rubbish. Don't like it. Better than Moonfall, though.
All right, moving on. Joseph Jammer Medina, a.k.a. Janet. You got a lot of nicknames. AJ Serna, Janet Jammer.
Well, AJ Serna is a pen name, not a nickname. Yeah. Janet is dumb, but I've embraced it. So, that's it.
You're welcome.
What does Dr. Mrs. Jammer call you?
Ooh. It's none of your business.
What was that, Danny?
What does Dr. Mrs. Jammer call you? She told me off. I call her Mrs. Jarrett.
She calls me Joe.
She's got to call me Doctor.
It's just, it's a good point. You got to call her Doctor. But yeah, she calls me Joe.
And when you've been a bad boy?
Also Joseph Joe. Medina. But what was the question? Oh, yeah, Fast 10. It is, yes, I think so far the dumbest movie I've seen this year. But that does not make it entirely unenjoyable. It is the best Fast movie we've had in three movies.
Okay.
What movies are you including in those three movies? Yeah, what movies are you talking about?
All of them. All of them.
All the Fast films.
So you think it's better than
it's better than F9. It's better than Hobbs and Shaw.
Okay. All right. So what I was trying to figure out was you're including this in the three. I was trying to figure out a few minutes.
I'm including this in the three. Yes.
So you don't mean eight. You liked eight.
No, Fate is amazing. I love Fate.
Okay. All right. So we are
put some context into it. The first three we can talk about later. Five mm-hmm. through seven, I like. Fate, I love. F9 and Hobbs and Shaw are embarrassing hot garbage. This is somewhere in between that.
Okay. So what's funny about that, I think you and I are of an accord generally on that. Are you done?
Yeah, it's my Twitter review.
That's your Twitter review.
It's kind of a Twitter review, but whatever.
Kind of a Twitter review. So there's
it's a new
a
Twitter
lot.
Review where you can just keep going forever. Just one keep of those going. Things just that I going. Still don't understand.
It's as dumb it. As Musk intended.
I was going to say it's a Twitter blue review with the unlimited character.
Oh, is count. That what those are? The Twitter blue ones are the long ones?
Yeah.
You pay for a check mark?
I got to start paying $8 a month, guys.
You also get edit function jammer. I mean, let's be honest. Nice. That alone, almost worth it.
No, it's not.
I said
on
almost.
A dying platform.
I said almost.
So
the dying platform that we all participate in on.
I tweet very little now.
I just love the fact that we're avoiding talking about the movie.
I'm not avoiding. I'm ready to jump in. Jammers is like,
let's do it.
So let me do my short review. So there's a lot to say about this film. Most of it is not good. I feel like I dislike this film for the same reason that The Force Awakens kind of irked me. And that's because it relied too much on nostalgia and stuff from the past without bringing much new to this film. And that was probably one of my biggest frustrations, in addition to the fact that they've upset the balance between spectacle and parody. And they've just gone full into parody. And I'm not entirely sure if they can right the ship for what they've got going on next. But beyond that, I'm ready to jump in the spoilers.
Let's do it.
Danny, you... Yeah. I'm sorry. Before we jump in the spoilers, letter grades, gentlemen. Danny.
It's a lot of pressure.
Do we want Jeopardy music? What's going on here? D?
I want an E.
Oh, E. E. Is this an E for like just because it's below F, or is it E for empty, like a gas tank?
E isn't below F. E is less below than F. You want to go F if you want to go F.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Fail.
You want an E. It's not an F. So it's
E
like
empty. I can't
do
words. You can't do alphabet.
I can't do alphabet.
No.
E. It's an E.
I know what I can do later on this
episode.
It's
on empty.
It's empty. It really did nothing
like
for me. I've never walked out of a movie I could have done and not felt guilty at all. I was bored. I was frustrated. It was everything I don't want to see in a film, unfortunately. So yeah, I'm going to go with an E. There's my letter grade. Sorry, don't do E.
I don't want to see full frontal nudity in a film. I feel like I'm good on that.
Well, it depends what film.
But that's just me.
The ones on the jammer are in pretty good.
It's true.
Carl all right, Jammer.
His head like he's seen movies that we've got.
So, you want my letter grade? I feel bad because I want to give it lower than a C, but I feel like I can't give a positive rating without like a below a C. So I'm just gonna give it a C. Like basically, C and above is like a positive rating, and I'm skewing slightly more positive. So C.
Interesting.
But I want to. All right. But based on its quality, I want to give it lower, but I'm not gonna. So.
Okay. I feel that. And I'm going to come in about the same, but I'm going to give it a C minus because I'm generally disappointed. And some of that disappointment comes from things that happened outside the film. But most of it are things that happen inside the film. So that minus represents my inability to separate my expectations from what I saw. But those expectations were based on things that were said. So.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Given that, let's jump into it with our C minus C and E. So I guess the biggest thing to talk about in spoilers is the fact that this whole thing ends on a cliffhanger. And I like, what do you guys think about that? I'm kind of worried about that. So there are two things. There's the fact that this whole thing ends on a cliffhanger, and it also, Vin Diesel has talked about the fact that the studio asked him to make this into a trilogy. These last two films, what we thought was going to be the penultimate film, is now the first film in a potential trilogy of a conclusion.
Well, I think that depends on how well this does at the box office. If this does crap at the box office, I think they only make one more movie.
Wow. Okay.
They're going to make another one no matter what, but unless this ends up getting, you know, Black Adam status, if it makes like Black Adam dollars, then maybe we're probably not going to see another one. But I would be really surprised if we're not going to at least finish with one more movie. Like, there's no way the series goes out like that.
So let me ask you about that. What I find interesting about that is, when did they ask him to do that based on seeing this movie and going like,
that's
yeah,
what
we
he
want.
Says that. I mean, we can give only me another one word, of those. But he's an unreliable narrator, Jonesy. I don't know if you know this. He's an unreliable narrator. I don't trust him. I don't trust him at all. Like, I always remember, we can't not talk about this, that video with Justin Lin, where, you know, was it Justin Lin? Yeah, I think it was Justin Lin, where he has, like, the Instagram video where he's sitting there. Justin Lin looks like he's ready to hang himself. And he's just like, does it look like it's going to be the best one? And then Justin looking like, once again, he's ready to pull the trigger, was just like, in my heart, yes. And then he goes, oh. And I was just like, read the room, dude. He clearly doesn't want to be there. I don't know why you posted this video.
It's like a hostage video. So here's the statement. Here's the actual statement. He said, and after the studio saw this, part one, they said, could you make Fast X the finale, a trilogy? Co-star Michelle Rodriguez then added, there are three acts in any story. So it's amazing. I can't imagine what executive saw this 2.5-hour movie. It was like, you know what? We need another 5 hours.
Well, here's the thing. This doesn't play like an act in a movie. It plays because like if it was an act in a movie, they would have kind of resolved a point and been like, okay, well now we need to do this thing and here's what the journey is going to be and then cut it off. That would be the end of the first act.
Yep. So but here's the thing, you are very aware of the fact that the Fast and Furious films are not known for like their plot strength, right?
True.
So their ability to plot out those
which is funny
points.
Because I will say this to you, Jonesy. I feel really bad because, unlike me, you seem to genuinely care about the mythology of this series and feel have been slowly betrayed over time and still are just like expecting quality from this franchise.
Here's the thing.
Or hoping for quality. I've long since gotten over quality.
It's easier for me to write off Hobbs and Shaw as being like, you know,
Hobbs and Shaw was embarrassing.
It's like Solo, right? I don't give a fuck about this. Keep it over there.
All right.
8, I really enjoyed. 9, and then this one. So, to be fair, out of 9 core movies, up until this point, I had only disliked 2. And 2 being Too Fast, Too Furious. And then I didn't dislike 9, but over time, it hasn't really...
I don't remember what I rated 9 if I was on here at the time. I think I was.
Yeah. This podcast, this will be the third Fast and Furious film that we've reviewed.
I haven't watched it since, and I don't have any desire to. Whereas if I feel like I might stream this one just for fun scenes, because I think there is a lot more fun.
What are your fun scenes?
That's a good question. Anything with Jason Momoa in it. I love Jason Momoa in this movie. Also, I think I'm loving this movie for all of the right reasons, specifically how it has, 3 Oscar winners, and it manages to bring out the worst performances in all of them. I genuinely love every aspect of that. And I'm not even being ironic with it. Whenever someone's on screen and I'm just like, oh, you deliver that cheesy so well or so horribly, even worse than the line was written, and I love it. No, I love it. Like that whole scene with Brie Larson and was it Alan Richson in the freaking God, the room briefing? Of screens?
So terrible,
it was so bad. I loved so terrible. It. It I was like, amazing.
Why is this happening right now? Why is this
also
happening right now?
There was another thing. I think this is okay. It's okay that a movie is like this because literally, I went up to the bathroom twice. I did not care. Did not give a fuck. And that's okay. Every now and then, you want a movie where you could just get up and not feel pressured to, you know, go to the bathroom quickly, where you could just kind of take your time, you know, fix your hair, even though you're in a dark room, brush your teeth, something like that, and then come back. And that's totally fine. Read a book.
Funny.
The only thing I will say, hold on, here's a question I have. Hold on. Did Mr. Nobody die or Little Nobody die? Because
that's one of my notes. I don't know. No one gave a fuck. No one said a thing about him.
You know, it's funny because like I came back and I was like, did anybody die? And then Kirsten's like, no. I was like, okay, cool. And then, Little Nobody was gone, and I was like,
"Never showed up.
What
again.
Did I miss his death? Where's Little Nobody?
No one said a word.
Hold on, who's Little Nobody? Which one was he?
Scott Eastwood.
Oh, that guy, the agency guy.
Yeah, he jumped out of the car. It exploded, it. And then never mentioned.
Oh, that was so. I did see that scene, but that was the last time we saw him.
Yep. No, he comes back. He's in later on.
Maybe he's the villain in Fast 11.
Yeah, doesn't he have a throwaway line about being on the way soon or the gang's coming to get either? I thought he was in it again.
Oh, if that
might have been when I went to the bathroom. Maybe.
So
the thing is, they even mention him, but then like he doesn't come back for some reason.
I don't remember him coming back. But Jammer, one of the things I find interesting, you talked about something that reminded me of something. So you talked about Jason Momoa's performance, and I found that in this film and that room of screens reminded me of two different things. So between those things, I was like, this is flat out a superhero movie. Now we have talked about in the past, like they have gone beyond like just superhuman strength. Like he's stomping on the ground in 7 and the whole parking garage comes down. Dom takes a bullet in the back and it's like, oh, that stung like a mosquito bite. But in this one, and in 8, he catches a car. And this one, he lifts a car. Jason Momoa's performance is straight up Joker. Like, it is straight up, like, giggly
it's
and
basically
laughy.
It's Joel Schumacher Joker.
Yep, it's some amalgamation, I was going to say, of, like, the 60s Batman. And also Batman 89. Because remember the scene where he's talking to the two dead guys? He's like, and then he asks him for advice. He's like, should I do this? He's like, oh, you're so bad. And that is straight out of Jack Nicholson's performance where he says, you know, like, oh, you're a terrible Bob. I'm glad you're dead. And then he sells him, you know, like 2 guys will be back to bury you in a minute. But all of that was straight out of there. There are no less than 3 Batman references between that the fact that Dom's brother John Cena built a Batcave, has a Batmobile. Dom's Charger is basically the Batmobile, right? Where it's shooting out harpoon guns, catching stuff. It's just like you guys have just gone well beyond. And that's what I mean when I say this is like into parody at this point, where it's just not.
But it made it more enjoyable to me than Fast 9. Because it got to the point. That's the thing, is like, it was stupid enough that I found it entertaining. Whereas F9 was just stupid and annoying.
Okay.
And same thing with Hobbs and Shaw.
I'm flipped the other way with you, Jammer, that I think this one is the one I find stupid and annoying. 9, I accepted the entertainment.
Yeah.
So I totally understand. I just think those two movies for me are flipped, but I totally get your sentiment on that.
Yeah, because I had a good time watching this movie overall. Like, it was dumb. A 12-year-old could have written it. There are so many lines in there where, I did a spit take in the theater. I don't remember what the stupid line was, but I was drinking water. I went into my drink, and then the people around me started laughing, and then it encouraged other people at the movie just be like, "This is fucking stupid!" Like, literally in the middle of the theater, which is fine.
I must have said that it was exact words about 10 times. Oh, this is stupid. Oh, that's just stupid. That is stupid. And it was right at the beginning for me. I've even written in my notes that I think the six-month-old version of ChatGPT just came up with a script that had write a script with cheesy family quotes in it, because the first 5 minutes of the whole barbecue was just awful for me as they're trying to establish how important family is, how this family is so welcome. It was just throwaway cheesy line after another.
Yeah, I didn't understand the inclusion of the importance of Rita Moreno in that scene. I feel like you could have had them sitting down.
I don't remember. Was she in any other movie?
I don't know. I thought, no.
Not that I recall.
She was the mum of someone, right? Of them.
The thing is, I thought you could have told me that. You could have told me otherwise. You could have told me that she was in another movie. I would have been like, oh, probably. Because I don't remember the plot or the story or anything that happened in any of these movies.
Yeah, you could have.
It would have made more sense to have Helen Mirren come in and be at the dinner table than that woman.
No, but she's not like that. She's not that warm, Danny.
No, but they needed to throw Helen Mirren in for some random reason an hour later.
Yeah, so it's crazy in this film. They crammed in so many people. You've got Rita Moreno, Helen Mirren, Brie Larson, Jason Statham, John Cena, Alan Ritchson, Pete Davidson, Charlize Theron, and more.
That was the Canto bite scene for me in that shop. That was the scene. What was the point of that? Why, even at the end,
I liked that scene.
But they just backstabbed him, and they never got the MacGuffin that they went in there for. It just seemed to be another stupid reason for Raymond.
But the fact that all these people
in
there
for no reason,
it kind of reminds me of like a wrestling like event, so like SummerSlam or something like that, where you get like record smash and somebody's music comes on and they jump into the ring. And like all of those people just scene after scene after scene, somebody sliding into the ring. It's like, I don't have enough time to enjoy these people in the ring for 5 seconds before there's another needle drop and you've got another one of these folks showing up.
There's a Royal Rumble. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. Danny, you said something that was kind of interesting. You said ChatGPT. The fact that, I'm really curious how much influence on this film the director had, right? So let's go back in time for a little bit.
Sorry, go ahead, buddy. Go on.
Zero. Well, I was just going to say, let's go back in time for a little bit. It's easy to forget, and I was trying to figure out where to lay the blame. The fact that this film lost its director. Jammer already brought that up. They had to bring in somebody at the last minute, hey, direct this film. And then a year later, they pushed this out. And so he has talked about having to rewrite the entire film and move things around to make it work. I can't imagine that he was able to, beyond that, like make sense. He was able to have much influence. I don't know. And so I would ask Jammer first. Do you think so?
I mean, he was able to. I think his job was mostly trying to keep everything from falling apart and keeping cohesive and keep it going and get it done. Just get it done. And applause to Louis Leterrier for being able to do that for a movie of this size with the egos that he's having to work with. Like, good for him. Like, he did an amazing job with given what he was handed and how quickly he had to act. So I think that's fantastic. they need to.
So
do
you think that the next one would be? And so that was going to be my question. Do you think that the next one, if he stays on, will be better?
I want to say yes, and here's why. I hope so, because I would imagine this movie is going to make money, but I bet you it's going to be like $700 million. It's going to be lower than normal, maybe $600 million. Like, it's going to be profitable, but they're going to think, oh, we actually have to do a good movie now. Maybe they might actually invest in somebody to make sure it's good. And then they'll have time, because they'll have a director who, knock on wood, is able to stick around for, you know, and deal with the egos thing in the room and all that and get it done. So hopefully the next one could be the best one. I'm hopeful, but also skeptical, but hopeful.
Yeah. One of the interesting anecdotes I found about this was the fact that as they were making The Transporter, Louis Leterrier and Jason Statham took a break from filming that to go over and watch the first Fast and Furious, because it was out in theaters at the time. Yeah. And they both walked out and were like, holy shit, that was amazing. And so he's talked about that, right? And just how excited he was to take this. And I think the phrase that he used was, he's like, I can't fuck up Fast and Furious. Like, I can't be the one that fucks it up, because it has such
he isn't.
On him. He loved it.
He isn't. He Justin Lin fucked it up with F9. And whoever, who directed? Oh, David Leitch. Was it David Leitch who directed Hobbs and Shaw?
Yeah.
I don't know who fucked it up, but it was fucked up before Louis Leterrier.
It's funny you were gonna say Vin Diesel, but Vin Diesel had nothing to do with Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, he had nothing to do with Hobbs and Shaw. But I mean, I think he definitely has something to do. I'm assuming. I have no idea to do with Justin Lin leaving. I'm assuming Justin Lin did not want to deal with his bullshit anymore. That's what I imagine, but I don't know for sure.
Okay.
Because I don't know anything. Because I'm on the outside looking in, casting stones, and just for no reason.
Another thing that I wanted to talk to you guys about. So there was a tease that came out where Vin Diesel talked about the fact that, and I can't tell if it was the article that poised it this way or was it him, but they talked about the fact that they were going to say goodbye to Paul Walker's character. Zero mention.
That didn't happen. Yeah.
Of him at all in this. And the comment was, you know, the moment in 2013 when the world was struggling with his loss, the studio made a very bold, righteous, and daring decision to keep Brian O'Connor alive. I will give you this without spoiling anything. I couldn't imagine the saga ending without truly saying goodbye to Brian O'Connor. Now, maybe it is the way that the article, it's a Collider article, positioned it, because they made it sound like it would happen in this film. But it is hard for me to accept it that it would be true in the next film, when there were zero mentions of him in this.
There was a brief mention when I forget the character's name, Brian's wife, Dom's sister.
Jordana Brewster.
Mia. Someone said something and she said, Brian and the kids are okay. Brian and kids are safe. Actually thought at the time, I was thinking about that young Brian, but it was because she said, Brian and the kid are safe already. Brian and the kid, not my big brother and Brian. It was Brian and the kid.
But she has a kid that I don't think we've seen yet.
But she said Brian and the kid. So there's basically Brian, the young Brian doesn't have a kid, right? So when she said Brian and the kid, it was clearly referencing her husband and the kid that they have together.
I don't know. I think it gets confusing. And it was weird as they kept saying little B or Brian. I was like, you should have just fucking named him Paul. Like, I know as they were making this movie, somebody was like, we should have just named him Paul, and that would have been so much easier and better. But
straight away, just talking about Jonesy's going on that, it was one of those things, but now he's going after family. So Jason Momoa's character would have known she had a husband, Brian, and the kid, and he wasn't mentioned. It wasn't anything to do with the God's Eye. It wasn't, I'm going after that. So it's difficult, but they've chosen to keep him alive in the universe, right? They made that choice with the parting cars. So as far as we know, he's still alive somewhere. And they kind of made a rod for their own back doing that with this story that they went with in Fast 10.
Which at this point, I kind of agree with what Vin Diesel was saying at first, but now I'm like, this isn't right. Because the idea that his family is in danger and he's just like somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. So they did the right thing for Fast 9, 100%. But
I know
this story now makes it what you now have made that ridiculous. Like, they needed a different story to to keep Brian alive somewhere, but not include him in this somehow.
What Danny said.
Yeah.
Speaking of keeping folks alive, so not only have we now seen the return of Han, we now, at the end of this film, get the return of Giselle.
And you know, sorry, Jonesy, and you know the others. I mean, there was a pointless sacrifice from John Cena, absolutely pointless. I'm going to kill myself to take out five cars. Next scene, five more cars are now chasing Dom down the street.
Well, yeah, but there would have been 10 cars. There would have been 10 cars, Danny, if it wasn't for him.
Jammer. Stop standing up.
Have you watched Don't Be Ridiculous, Jammer? Have you seen the movie? Did you watch this movie?
And then the plane, the big plane. Okay, why did he land the plane if he's just gonna backstab Dom? Why did he even bother landing the plane?
Because he has to fire the rocket launcher.
Absolute nonsense.
Because the whole point is to make him suffer.
But then the plane disappears around the corner, right? And the three people, the two people,
and they're obviously not dead.
That I really don't care about anymore. Wish they did die in that plane crash. They're going to be alive because those characters were ruined for me with their constant stupid bickering. It wasn't funny anymore. It's funny in number six or two or whatever.
I like their fight. Their fight was really funny. I don't know what the hell Roman was throwing. What the hell was Roman throwing? What was he throwing? Was it dust?
Dust.
Oh yeah, dust. Yeah, then dust.
It was chucking dried up. Ghetto magician. That's what he was trying.
I don't know. Okay. It's fun.
Anyway, coming back from the dead, Jonesy. There's no way the people on that plane are dead. They disappeared around the corner, and there was.
I like Roman and Tej. Those two never get old for me. I don't care. I don't give a fuck. I love those guys.
It's fun. I agree. They were the highlight of this for me.
Well, that means just John Cena is going to come back.
That's fine. I don't care. Like it's awesome. But when Gal Gadot showed up at the end, I was just like, okay, why not?
Like a little hand wave. But I cannot wait to see what the explanation was for this.
There's no. Oh yeah, it's gonna be so convoluted. It's basically she's gonna fall like you know into the thing, and then there's the trap door is gonna open as she falls, and there's gonna be a slide leading to an underground lair. And then
how
it's
did
like,
she
oh,
die in number
God,
five or
there.
Six?
She fell like out Georgia. Of the plane on the endless runway in six.
Yeah, the runway has like
oh, she could survive that.
Or not a hole, a trap
if they
door.
Can jump, they can if he can drive down the dam and all that stuff and spin.
Or
in the
no
twin
one went
sister.
To find her body.
Twin sister. I'm not kidding.
Or she's Wonder Woman or some nonsense. God,
that's probably it.
Was there a sorry, Jonesy? I completely sidetracked you. People coming back.
That's fine.
Go for it.
So. Her coming back from the dead, we've got that. And then we've also got The Rock returning. So, Jammer, the question I had for you, are they what?
Well, when?
Oh, nothing. I just remember his.
Did you leave? Did you leave? There's a post-credit. There's a post-credit scene. You didn't stay.
It was a mid-credit scene. It was a mid-credit scene.
I'm not going to stay for more movie. That's
so
rubbish.
After every one of these films have had post-credit scenes.
In all fairness, I didn't stay for the post credit. I'd stay for the mid credits.
Oh God!
Okay,
so what did
so
I miss? Did I miss
There's
probably
one
the best part of the movie with The Rock coming back?
So first off, let
oh,
me,
it was
let
a great, greatest line
saying,
delivery. He literally said,
well,
"You some bitch," like a really dramatic line, like pause between those two parts.
And
not the opening
what
scene of Predator
was,
with Apollo Creed and Arnold Schwarzenegger when they when
this
they go
was preceded
the
by. The weirdest credits music. It was like straight out of James Bond, right?
Literally, like, Kirsten said that she said like they're like trying to rip off James Bond with this closing.
So Jammer, about that Rock scene is probably the last question I'll ask you before we move on. Are they teasing him appearing in the next Fast and Furious film, or
yes.
is this two Hobbs, two Shaw?
It's not two Hobbs, two Shaw. It's the next Fast and Furious film. He's back. He got Black Adams. He's ready to come back to
the
franchise he helped revive.
Okay. So do you think that what happened with Black Adam is the reason why he's in this?
Yeah. I think so. They were able to make it work story-wise because it's like, you're the one who did this, but you're the one who pulled the trigger. Like I was like, okay, I could buy that. Yeah. Yeah. I think he's back because of Black Adam.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else to say about this film?
One thing, Jonesy. What I did like of anything, Jason Momoa showed why he should be Lobo.
Mm.
I thought a because his performance, like Jammer said, was straight off the cuff, chewing scenery, absolute nonsense. But I bought him as a wisecracking, smart ass sounding, but with a very evil glint in his eye kind of character. So give an 18 certificate script and his ability to play that kind of role, because Lobo is slightly off kilter. He is mad as a sack of spaniels. So I literally was looking at him going, this is nonsense. You're okay in this because the way you're doing this character, you're my Lobo. Please be Lobo. So I'm going to call him Jason Lobova from now on.
Please don't.
No, I will. If you keep making me talk about it, I'm going to stop now because we're talking about this movie. I want to move on. Even
yeah, we're going for too long. Let's. We should move on.
Going for too long. We're ready to move on. So
I need a shower.
Jesus Christ. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend, because this film is going up against Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which is already doing gangbusters. It had the second best week since Black Panther. It's already ahead of Quantumania, and it's just killing it at the box office. The reason why I bring that up is because we're going to see what James Gunn is going to do with this universe. And we already had a lot of casting rumors.
You meant to say the DC universe, right?
What did I say?
You said this universe. You didn't specify.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This universe, the DC universe. Because we've already had some casting rumors and some folks talked about who are in the running for the role of Superman / Clark Kent in Superman Legacy. I'm just trying to figure out the best way to do this. Is it just to name them all? Because I don't think anybody would have any context for those folks, but we can run through probably who are the top five. And I'm curious if you all have any knowledge of who any of these people are. And is there anyone of these top five folks that you would be interested in seeing? You ready?
I'm ready. Name them.
All right. Andrew Richardson, Tom Brittany, Jacob Elordi, Nicholas Holt, and David Corenswet.
That name's funny.
Lots of I don't know.
I'm a child. I don't know. Corenswet? I mean,
Corenswet.
I know Holt. Obviously, we know Holt. We know Nicholas Holt.
Okay.
I think I think it's very clear they're going for no name, or at least minimally known name. Probably for a good reason, because you want somebody who you think of as Superman, not who you think of as an actor playing Superman. Unfortunately, I think Nicholas Holt is somebody who we think of as an actor playing Superman. Kind of like how, even though I like his performance, I still just think of Robert Pattinson as Batman as opposed to, you know, Batman. And I think they want to avoid that with this character.
You mean the vampire?
Yeah.
You say you think of him as Batman rather than...
No, I think of him as himself. I think of him as Robert Pattinson playing Batman.
Okay.
I don't think of him as Batman.
Gotcha.
Okay.
As good as he is in that. I still look at him, I'm like, it's just Robert Pattinson playing Batman. Like, it's weird. I would feel the same way with Nicholas Holt. If you get the other folks in there, I'll think of them first and foremost as Superman. I think that's probably what James Gunn wants.
Yeah, okay. I agree. And that makes sense to me. Did you? Yeah, I totally agree with that. But did you notice how Tom Brittany, if you pulled up a picture, Jonesy, what before doing this, looks very much like Henry Cavill? I mean, apart from the hair color, his jaw shape and face, very much a Henry Cavill looky, right? So.
And unsurprisingly, of the folks that I named, he's the one that I was like, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
I want him.
Yeah.
Jacob Elordi, I don't know if you guys have seen Euphoria, but he is, I don't know if you'd call him a villain. He is definitely an antagonist on that show. He does not have the look for me that I would look for in a Superman. So for me, of all of the folks that they seem to have up there, Brittany would be my top choice for him.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about Holt for Lex Luthor? Because that was another one of the
rumors. That was what the rumor was in my mind. I did when I saw Nicholas Holt come up in the snapshot of the article, and I was like, oh, is he Superman? No, surely they're talking about him for Lex, because I think he would be a good choice for Lex. It didn't even occur to me that he was a Superman choice. But I like Lex. I like the idea of him being Lex.
Hair or no hair?
Yeah. No hair.
Good question. No hair. Yeah. No hair.
Okay.
Just like you.
No hair.
Only better looking.
Just kind of like I'm just already like casting, like fan casting things. I want Lakeith Stanfield to be the Riddler for some reason. I don't know why. but I think he'd be awesome good. At it. I think he'd be great. I would love it so much. I know you don't want to mention this, but Emma Mackey, I know she's one of the rumors for Lois Lane. I only know she's from Sex Education, and she's amazing in it, and you should definitely watch Sex Education. That's all. I don't know the other folks on there who are also rumored, but I just feel like I wanted to mention that person. But she's also one of those women who's like one of the five other women who people confuse with Margot Robbie because she looks like Margot Robbie. So,
yep.
And actually, if I recall correctly, I think at least one of Samara Weaving is another one of those people who's rumored, and she also looks like Margot Robbie. So,
yes,
they're going for a type, it seems like.
I know Weaving from the awesome, awesome horror flick, The Babysitter on Netflix.
Yeah. She's also in Ready or Not, right? I think the ad is like of
is
her
she in Ready or Not
in a white dress fighting. Am I thinking of the right movie? Samara.
You know what I found out a couple of weeks ago? That there was a sequel to The Babysitter. I did not know that there was another one.
I didn't catch it yet. I need to.
I watched it. It's fun.
Good to know.
I think it got surfaced because what's her name from Wednesday is in it.
Jenna Ortega?
Yeah. You know,
go ahead. You're fine.
So I was just going to say she's in it. And I think because I watched Wednesday, it was like, you might also like this. And it's like, well, you could have surfaced me because I also watched the first film and didn't tell me this existed, you fuckers.
I was just going to say it's interesting about Ortega getting in Beetlejuice 2. Kind of getting into that almost typecasted role that Christina Ricci got put in, and which is funny because they both play Wednesday. So, anyways, yay, Hollywood being such a small world in so many not good ways.
I mean, let's be real, every industry is minuscule, every industry is incestuous.
Yeah. But that said, I think you all should. If you liked the first Babysitter, I think you should watch this one, the new one. It's fun.
I will check it out because I thoroughly enjoyed it. I watched that at. I remember. I think I was at ALC when that hit.
What does that mean?
Jonesy knows.
What does ALC mean?
Advanced.
What are these Army leadership? Advanced leadership course.
Yeah, it's a Army leadership school you have to go to as you're moving up ranks for the NCO side. So yeah.
Ragnarok going to school. Jesus.
What? Dude, your entire Army career, it should be filled up with going to schools. It really should be.
So. You're taking my comment way too seriously, Kyle.
Oh, okay. Oh, go away. go talk about something else then.
Okay. So Superman Legacy casting. It doesn't sound like there's a lot to pull in. Like I said, Brittany would be my choice. Of the folks you mentioned, I don't know. Someone that looks like Margot Robbie, I suppose.
Someone from that list.
last question I'm going to ask you guys about Superman Legacy. Who do you want the villain to be? Not Lex.
Not Lex?
Ooh.
Come on. I'm thinking...
I'm trying to think of some villains in the Superman world.
Superman. I'm going to go with Brainiac.
I'm actually trying to think of it too. Yeah, that's where my mind went, but I don't know. I don't even know what the
Brainiac is one we haven't seen on the big screen.
But it's weird. I don't know what tone they're going for yet. So I don't really know what to expect. Like what kind of interpretation I want.
Jonesy on that. I think Brainiac's going to be the new DCU's first big bad.
Why?
Just because exactly like you said, we haven't seen him on screen yet. And he is such a... I don't think they're quite ready to go straight to Darkseid yet. I think he wants to build this guy up. I think... I don't know. I'm trying to word it and I'm having trouble... But I just think that it would be unique, and I think there's probably a James Gunnishness to Brainiac more than like he could work with that character more easily than necessarily Darkseid, and I could kind of see him wanting to make a character like that the first big threat. I might be completely off, and I know a lot of people would love to see him in Supes Legacy, but including guys like Manny and stuff. But I don't know, what do you think about Brainiac being a bigger bad, or maybe even coming back and being the bigger bad later.
The biggest.
I mean,
bad.
I love him for the from the perspective that it ties into the idea of legacy, because for the longest time, these two characters have just been tied to the origin of Krypton blowing up. And so if you're doing a story that talks about legacy and what that means, I think that is an easy,
that is a really thematic, good, really tie-in. Good point. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good, good, good point.
But for that what matter, if, so does Zod. Off, but
what if they just go off the wall and have it like Lobo?
No. He gets his own stuff, Jammer. He gets his own stuff.
Come on. Imagine introducing him. And then, you know, then they spin him off. That's a total. James Gunn would totally do that. Maybe.
I would love that.
James Gunn was involved in DC, I, based on his stuff with Guardians, he knows he wants Lobo in there, but he won't be the villain for this one. But Lobo needs his own thing. He needs his dolphins and he needs his bulldog and his chopper. And
he can have all those things and not his own things.
No, I want him to have his own thing, Jammer. Don't take away
he
my
be,
toys.
He could spin Why him off. He could spin him off.
What? I don't want to see him spinning off. I want to see him have his own thing. No.
Okay.
It's not what I want. It's about what I want, Jammer. Okay. Joseph Medina. Fallible. That's what I want.
All right. So, in addition to this, we've got some interesting news coming out of Nintendo. So given the success of the Super Mario Brothers movie, this is probably one of the biggest hits of 2023, if not the biggest hit. It's hit just over $1 billion. And I think it's just about to hit streaming now. So people are going to get a second bite of the apple or third, given how much money this movie's made.
It is it's just over 1.2 billion and it's available for digital only purchase or rent with home video being a little bit later.
Rushing.
Wait, home video. What are you talking about?
So you can people only watching. Get from Vudu or whatever where you can purchase it digitally only. Okay. There's no
Got it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So given that success from the Super Mario film, we've got some little rumblings coming out. The producer of the recent Zelda game, Tears of the Kingdom, has talked about the fact that he is interested in a film, but it's not just me being interested in something that makes things happen. The mute speak,
wise
as
man.
They would say in the Star Wars universe. So Eiji Aonuma.
Aonuma.
Yeah, I just said it weirdly. Aonuma. Yeah,
you there
did. We go. said that he wants to get a movie going. Are you guys interested, given what you've seen from the Mario movie specifically? Yeah, that's it. So I think... For me, I'll
audio
go
listeners,
first.
We all shook our heads.
Yeah, there was a big East West. So the Mario movie, at least for me, as somebody that was a fan of the franchise growing up, I didn't care for it. My kids loved it, right? It's because they don't have discerning taste. They eat shit off the floor because they're just they're children. That's what they do.
Did you raise dogs?
No, they're just wild, feral children. That's what children do. And so the quality that we got from the Super Mario Brothers movie isn't something that made me really want to see a sequel to that or even anything in the Nintendo franchise universe, whatever. I would be more excited if they had said, yeah, we're going to make a Zelda film, but it won't come from Illumination.
So that's I agree. And that's the thing is, here's the thing, Mario, I love Mario, grew up with Mario like many of us did, but I'm not like attached to the mythology. I'm like, oh, there's some strong mythology behind Mario that you got to get behind. Like, I'm not really attached to anything. So for me, what it did, while very disappointing because there was a lot of potential, it was fine. But I don't want that for Zelda. Zelda is like, you know, as Jonesy takes the mythology of Fast and Furious seriously, I take the mythology of Zelda very seriously and would be disappointed if it's something that gets flubbed in an adaptation. And unfortunately, as much as I like Illumination, I think they're great business folks and I think they have some good movies, but I worry that they're just going to rely too heavily on fan service and not enough on actual good character arcs.
Okay.
And yeah, I think that would be the big, people talk about, oh, that the biggest issue is Link. I guess, yes, that's an issue, but like, I'm just worried about them capturing a good story or making a good story, which is doable, but they just need to have, they need to take some risks. And
biggest issue, like, the
premise of Mario, no, I don't think it's a big issue. Mario, the biggest issue with Mario is it took no risks. Zelda needs to take risks in order to be successful, in my eye.
What's the biggest issue with Link? If it's not whether or not he speaks.
No, I mean, with Link, sure. But I'm saying the biggest issue with adapting Zelda.
Ah, okay.
Because, yeah, that's an issue. But I mean, like, we'll be like, oh, I can't believe he's speaking. And then we'll get over it. Like, we'll get over it after, you know, we get an understanding of who his personality is. Though I will say, if they were to adapt it, they can disappoint everybody, but also be safe and maybe pretty cool if they adapt more of a Wind Waker type style. That allows Link to have more of a personality. And I think it'll be less shocking if that Link speaks than if, like, you know, Tears of the Kingdom, Breath of the Wild Link speaks.
Listen, as someone who enjoyed Wind Waker, listening to all the bitching and moaning about the art style of Wind Waker.
But it was so just, good.
Whatever. People couldn't stand it. Excuse me, Princess. Danny, what do you think of all of this?
I've got 100% full disclosure. I've got no skin in the game on this, guys, because that's not a game I ever played. It's not something I ever got into at all. So it would be very unfair for me to even offer any kind of opinion. I'm afraid not very good viewing or listening pleasure, but I've got nothing on this. I defer to your brilliance, Jammer and Jammer.
All right. And that's how we leave the show. Opinionless.
Whoa, what about you?
From Danny.
Oh, from Danny.
I went first.
Did you? What'd you say?
You weren't listening.
I spoke first. So Jesus Christ, you completely zoned out of my opinion about the fact that I would be more happy if someone other than Illumination did it.
Okay, well then what do you want to see from a Zelda adaptation? Because it's not necessarily a foregone conclusion that it's going to go with Illumination.
Attack on Titan. Make that.
Ew. What does that mean? Oh, the people who made it. The studio who made it?
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought you were thinking like, make it like Attack on Titan. I'm like, why would you do that? That's not Zelda at all.
No.
Make an anime.
Yes. Okay. I think a Legend of Zelda anime would like be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So that's just me.
Which story would you adapt?
Or would you
create an original story?
I think it would be better to create an original story. I think that is the great thing about Final Fantasy and Legend of Zelda, that there are so many that it is easy to just create a new story. And then you don't have to really deal with the expectations that people will have of like, oh, you're adapting a Link to the Past. So this is what's going to happen. This is going to happen. Or this is Majora's Mask. Oh, of course, it's going to be this, that, and the other. Like, let all that go. Right.
And then they're upset when it doesn't match it, or upset when they change it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's me. That's what I think. What about you? Ooh. If it's not Illumination, who would it be?
I think I've already said this before, Fortiche would be great. Mm.
Okay.
They did what's it called? Arcane.
No, yeah. I feel like we're just pegging them for everything now.
Yeah, because they're awesome. They don't necessarily, it doesn't need to be dark and gritty, but I want that quality of CG animation though.
Sure.
Okay. What about the powerhouse Castlevania? That kind of Western anime blend?
I don't like that look. I don't mind the studio. It's not like the studio can only do that. But as far as like kind of getting that, yeah, that sort of Western Eastern type of look, like make it anime or make it something else.
I have two dream studios to do a Power Rangers. You know, like if you could adapt the Shattered Grid art like from the comics.
Yeah.
Yep. It would either be Powerhouse, because I think their style would just fit with that super well. Or Super Dream anime Trigger. Let Trigger do.
Yep.
Trigger would be Trigger. Awesome.
Trigger could be good for Zelda too. Because I know we associate them with over the top like adult stuff, but they did Little Witch Academia, which is also very kid friendly, cute, whatever they can, so they can have range if they need to. And I don't know if it's a good fit for Zelda, but it could be interesting to watch.
The Gridman universe shows are phenomenal, and yeah, it's all good.
Okay.
Yeah, Trigger for Boom Comics. I'm on board.
All right. I feel like Trigger is like a gimme for a lot of stuff because they're just so cool. Their style is so cool. Even if I hate their anime, like some of their anime where I'm like, I don't like that, it's stupid. Their style is just like, that was a dope camera move. That was really cool. Like, I'm glad you did it that way.
All right. Well, I think we can leave it there. Folks, if you like what you heard, do all the socials, like, rate, comment, subscribe, share. We would appreciate. Also, what did you think of Fast 10? And who do you want to be cast as Superman? Let us know. Jump on the Discord and scream, shout, do a thing, say a thing. This show is produced by Kyle Malone. Did a fantastic job. And what are you doing, Danny? What's going on?
I'm getting ready for the picture. I wanted to say super inconvenience, which is my experience at Fast 10.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that you're super easy. Fucking suck.
Well, I don't need a t-shirt to say that. I just am.
And you can find all our content on LRM Online and, of course, the Genreverse YouTube channel. On that, folks, we will catch you on the next one. Hasta lasagna.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.